A reading from the Word of the Lord, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, the resurrection. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them with dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened.
You don't seem surprised. You are thinking, "Mary Magdalene, of course you've seen the Lord. You walked with him daily after he healed you." But that's not what I mean. I saw him risen, alive. You might not know how I felt. I was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus gave Mary and John to each other. Who did I have? No one. I was there when he said, "I'm thirsty," and they gave him a swab of vinegar. What could I do? Nothing. I was there when he said, "It is finished." Who would have thought it would come to that? A dead man on a cross? Was this the glory he had intended? Was this God's way of acting? God forsaken? Alone? Lonely? As a daughter of Jerusalem, the one thing I had learned was to mourn. I loved him. I had followed him. I would stay with him. After the Sabbath was over, of course. I thought the worst had happened until I got to the tomb that morning. The stone had been moved. They couldn't even leave a body in peace. Surely the master deserved a proper burial. Later, I wondered why I hadn't walked right in. Instead, I ran to tell the others what they had done to our teacher and friend's body. Peter and the beloved ones left, running. I couldn't stay still long enough for them to return. I set out to the tomb again. Why, you ask? To cry, of course. Near his last resting place, and to find out where he was taken. This time, I had the courage to look in, and two messengers guided us. "Why are you crying?" they asked. "Would you ask a visitor at a gravesite why they are crying?" I was so lonely without Jesus. He meant everything to me. Then the gardener came, asking the same thing and adding, "Whom are you looking for?" "Looking for just a body to give it a proper burial now that it's been desecrated." Then a wonderful thing happened. Mary, the gardener, knew my name. No one knew me that well and loved me so much as Jesus. "Mary," he told us once that he calls the sheep by name. And they know his voice. I wanted to cling to him forever, never to enter such despair again. Teacher and master. But I knew I couldn't. His words were beautiful. "Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them that I am on the way. To my Father and your Father. To my God and your God." Not only was I freed from that deep despair, but then I knew that this was not only a teacher of Israel, this was Jesus, God in flesh. I have seen the Lord.
Feet that walked the long dusty road.
Luke chapter 24, verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And then he said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be crucified to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. But moreover, some women from our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But then they urged him strongly, saying, 'Hey, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread."
I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. You seem skeptical. Admittedly, so was I. I didn't understand at first. I didn't realize that I was looking at my Savior face to face. Let me back up. You see, I was on the road to Emmaus with a friend of mine, and we were going to take care of some business, and my friend and I were walking, and Emmaus is an interesting journey, but not too long. So we were traveling down together, and as we were traveling, we were just talking about all of the things that had happened those past few days, about what had happened to our great teacher, to the one that we had been calling Lord. Oh, how we had hoped that he was the one that the prophecies had talked about. And yet this man, they put him up on the cross. He did not deserve to die that way. What a great teacher he was. A man so filled with hope. His teaching was filled with goodness. Every time he talked, it moved us. And they put him on a cross next to thieves. Oh, we were so sad. And yet, so confused. Because earlier that morning, the women had gone to the tomb and said that he was not there, and that there was an angel who had talked to them and said that he was risen, only later for Peter to go and find out that he said the same thing. And so my friend and I were walking on this road to Emmaus, talking about these things when a stranger approached us from behind. And as he was getting closer, I could tell that he was wondering what we were talking about. And I didn't want to have to relive everything that we had just been going through. And sure enough, he came up and he asked, "What is it that you are discussing?" My heart sank. Surely he had known. I asked him directly, were you not there? You must be the only man in Jerusalem that does not know what is going on. He asked, "What things are going on?" So we told him all that had happened, all that had happened to Jesus, how they had put him on trial and they had beaten him, and how he had bled, and how he had been hung up on a cross like a criminal, and how he died. And then we continued and said, "And now people have seen this tomb empty. They don't know where his body is, but some say that he is risen, and we just don't understand." And he looked directly at me, and he said, "Are you so foolish and slow to believe?" I was perplexed. Slow to believe? What was I not believing? I believed that he did not deserve to die. So he continued to share the truth of things that we had read about in scriptures, stories that I had heard since I was a child about Moses and the prophets and about all of these prophecies of the coming Messiah. Yes, I remember hearing these stories, and yet he explained them in such a way that lifted our spirits, that filled us with hope that we had not had since the last time that we had supper together with our Lord. And so it was getting dark, and I looked at my friend and said, "Dusk is here. We need to turn in for the night." But this man, this stranger, wanted to continue on, and we pleaded with him, "Please, please stay with us. Please tell us more." And so he agreed, and he came. And then when we sat down, we asked him to bless the food, and he broke the bread. And when he broke the bread, my mind went right back to that last supper in the upper room. This is Jesus. How could I have not seen? How could I have not known? I was talking with Jesus this whole time. He was the one who was filling me with this hope, who was filling me with this knowledge that he was the Messiah. And then it hit me. He is risen. He's not dead. He's alive. Oh, how did I miss this? How was I so slow to believe? And just like that, he was gone. And my friend and I, confused, perplexed, amazed, just had to run and share this good news with everyone that we could. We have seen the Lord. He was risen. He was risen indeed. I believe, Lord. Oh, Lord, even though I believe, help my unbelief. There is no one like him. There is no other so sure and steady. My hope is held in your hand. When castles crumble and breath is fleeting, upon this rock I will stand. Upon this rock I will stand. He was glorious. Glory, glory. We have no other king but Jesus, Lord of all. Sing this with us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Your kindly rule. Your kindly rule has
Chapter 24, beginning in verse 36, Jesus appears to his disciples. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they had saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That it is I myself, touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high.
I have seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. I know. Most of you are like, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal? It's just another Sunday. I'm ready to go back to work. Got things to do. I'm ready to go take care of that family member that's hurting. Just got another thing. This is just one day. I want to go make money. And if I make enough money, I want to go take my family to do something fun. Or maybe leave them at home and I'll go do something fun. And that's how I was. That's how I was until I saw the Lord. You see, I saw the Lord perform miracles. I saw the Lord perform miracles. First miracle I saw was fish. That's how I made my money. I made my money fishing. Fishing with a group of guys, and that's how we made our money, to support our families. We'd had a long, long, long night, and we had caught absolutely nothing. And then we saw, as we were pulling into shore, tired, ragged. Any nurses in here ever worked the night shift? We were tired. And we pull in, and there on the shore is this man teaching a group of people. And as we get close, he yells out to us. He goes, hey, you caught anything? I'm like, yeah, wise guy, whatever. You can tell our boat's empty. And he says, go, cast out in the deep. I'm like, that's strange. I didn't want to do it, but one of the other fishermen said, let's do it. So we went. What's the harm? We throw our nets in. And as soon as our nets hit the water, fish started jumping in our boat. Our boat was so full of fish, as we were trying to pull that net onto the boat, that our boat literally started to capsize. It was a miracle. I made more money that day than I did in 3 months. I thought, I'm going to follow this guy. He could take care of me. And so I started to follow him. I started listening to his teaching. Then I saw a second miracle. It was a miracle of forgiveness. You see, everybody we ran into had problems. Everybody we ran into had problems. People were hard up. People had broken relationships. People were suffering physically. You know, the thing I find interesting is that a lot of people who are suffering think they're the only ones. I did. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one with financial problems. I thought I was the only one that had a hard time making ends meet. But I wasn't. As I followed Jesus around and I saw him do the miracle of forgiveness, he would speak to people, and everyone that he met was changed. Now hear me. Not everyone that he met received his forgiveness, but everyone was changed. Some of them were more angry after they met with him. And others, they walked away free. Not free from their problems, but free from the pain of their problems. Having hope. Knowing who is the one to place their hope and faith in. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle I got to see every day. You would think that I would have been bold. But I wasn't. Just the night before that he was crucified, I had been with him in prayer. I'd been with him at that Passover meal. I told him, Jesus, I will kill for you. I would go into battle. I would go to prison for you. And he looked me in the eye and he said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And I told him, no, Lord, I didn't understand it either. And I told him that I would do it. Then when he was arrested, he was carried off, I followed him. And I watched some of my own brothers, I watched some of the people from my people beating him. And then somebody grabbed me and said, hey, you, you're one of them. I saw you with him. And it was just an instinct, it was a reaction. I said, I'm not with him. I don't know the man. And then I started to try to get away because the crowd was in a frenzy. And then another person grabbed me and said, you, no, you're one of his disciples. And I said, no, I'm not. And I cursed that man. Then a woman, as I was walking away, a woman grabbed me. She said, no, I know you are one of his. That's when I just screamed, I've never met the man. I don't even know him. At that moment, Jesus looked up at me. Looked up at me. And you would think after 3 years, I would have said to him, I would have known what he was thinking. I would have known the look in his eye. But no, I expected to see, I told you so, Peter. But that's not what I saw. What I saw was, I forgive you. It was a miracle. But it was one that I did not want to receive. I could not be worthy to receive that kind of forgiveness. I had already seen him do so much. I had already been so bold, made such bold statements that I would follow him no matter what. And I denied him. I didn't want to receive his forgiveness. I wasn't worthy. So I ran. I ran so fast. I was running so fast just to get out of my flesh. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wanted to just run so fast just to get away from yourself, but you can't? You can't escape you? You make yourself so ill for the things that you've said, the things that you've done, that you just want to run. And you can't escape it, no matter how far or how fast you run. And that was the best miracle of all. It was the miracle of faith. You see, he gave me faith. Faith to receive his forgiveness. You see, that's what happened. Mary came, she told us that he was alive. I couldn't believe it. I ran as fast as I could, and I'm a little fatter than John, and John, he ran faster than me. And he made it to the tomb first, but I went on in as soon as he was going to beat me, but I was going to go in first. And I looked and I saw, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was so overwhelming. I didn't think it was true. And then we were in that room, and my brother Cleopas and the other guy, he was there, and they were saying they saw Jesus. He had broken that bread, and instantly they knew. And they said that they had missed him as he walked through the law and the prophets and as he walked through the Psalms. And Jesus had told them, he had pointed out who the Christ was. And they didn't know him then, but when he broke bread, that communion was instantly brought back. They remembered the Last Supper. They remembered when he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And as they were telling us these things, he appeared and he said, peace to you. We were all like, wow! I mean, he just appeared. I mean, I was even startled, and I believed. I had already seen the empty tomb. I was still startled. I had seen the Lord. I had seen the Lord perform miracles. I had seen the Lord give peace. That's what he gave to us. He gave us peace. He showed us his wrists. He showed us his sides. And some people talk about scars. They weren't scars. They were holes. We had seen him bloodied and bruised just 2 days before, 3 days before. And then he's showing us his hands and his feet, and they were healed. But they weren't scars. They were prints. They were imprints of Calvary. Imprints of his forgiveness. And at that moment, we all had peace. And he asked for food, and he ate with us. We knew he couldn't be a ghost because ghosts don't eat. I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord do miracles. I have seen the Lord bring peace to people who think they could never have peace. And I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord give confirmation to doubts and to my ignorance, to my lack of understanding. You see, Jesus, he took the scriptures. And he did what only he does. He pointed us to himself in Moses, in the law, in the prophets, everyone who had come before, everyone who had proclaimed the coming Christ, who had been denied. And I found myself finding familiarity with their stories. Then he showed us the Psalms and how he was present in the Psalms. I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord perform miracles. I have seen the Lord bring peace. And I have seen the Lord give confirmation to doubters and to those who lack understanding. And that was me. I have seen the Lord. I am not afraid of death now because he is alive. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, but then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. As I'd watched them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly, the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet. As I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from them like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into Noah, sing along with me. He's alive.